Welcome to Mickey and
the Mouse.
Hey everybody, it's Mel here and...
Yo, this is John.
Welcome back to Mickey and the Mouse, you guys. Episode 3. We did it. We're here.
We're here.
Oh my gosh.
It's the magic number.
It's the magic number. Wow, now we're just really gonna make it.
We've done it. We've hit three.
We've hit three. We want to thank you guys so much for continuing to support us, for listening, leaving comments on our Instagram. Go follow us, Mickey and the Mouse Pod.
Nice plug.
Thank you. I'm trying. We've been having just a really great time with you all. It's been cool to see people respond so positively to what we're talking about. And we want to keep that going. So
please send in as many comments as you can.
It helps us too, because we see the feedback and it kind of helps us adjust our episodes accordingly. With that being said, we did come up with a really cool idea and kind of sad while we were in Napa this past weekend. We were having a great time. We looked down at our phone and we found out the Disney Movie Club is shutting down after 23 years, and Sony will now be in charge of all of Disney's physical media. So any DVDs, things like that moving forward, will be Sony's responsibility, which I find very confusing why Disney would feel the need to do that. We'll get into why we're concerned about that. But really today we wanted to kind of go through the history of the Disney Movie Club.
You mean Diz His?
The Diz His. Yeah, guys, we were just on this podcast called The Diz His. Really nice guys. Please go listen to them and support them. They do a bunch of episodes about just the history of Disney.
I want to say they're 200 plus.
Yeah, they have so many. I mean, you could have a real marathon. Oh my gosh. Great.
Listen
guys
to our three and then their 200 plus.
Yeah, there you go. You'll have a nice bank there to go off of. We just did an episode with them about a Disney Channel original film called
Luck of the Irish,
which, what a special time in Disney history.
Especially coming up on St. Paddy's Day
coming up on St. Paddy's Day. It's a great episode, so please go give them a listen. But they did kind of inspire this as well, because we do want to talk about the corporation side of Disney as well as the fuzzy magical side. And we feel like this news really encompasses both sides of this very well.
It's the business, it's the movies, and it's the history.
Yes.
Because Disney was very defensive of their releases.
Of ever letting media even be put out for home release. Like, to have people have physical copies was not something they were very willing to do.
No, they were... We're going to release these. This is going to be in theaters once a decade for an anniversary. Mm-hmm. This is how people are going to consume our movies, mm-hmm, like of our legacy collection.
I mean, and really, guys, I'm sure most of you are probably, I'm going to hope, around our age. So probably in your late 20s, early 30s. Maybe some of you are more young, you know, little youngins.
For that have heard of the Disney Vault.
Who might know what the Disney Vault is, but don't understand the implications. So I'm going to give you a quick rundown here. Back in the olden days, probably when our parents were born, so like the late 60s, early 70s, and, you know, before that, obviously. But I'm just thinking about our parents. People did not have media in their house. You could not come home and watch your favorite Disney movie. You had to wait for Disney to decide to re-release the film in theaters. Or if you were lucky, maybe they would put something on TV like once in a blue moon.
Not even with their original channel. They didn't have a channel yet.
No, they didn't even have one yet. So it was very rare for Disney media to be readily accessible. You had to wait for the film to come to town. You had to wait to go see it with your family. I can't even imagine that at this point. Being like, oh, I gotta wait 5 years for Snow White to come back to theaters or whatever the situation would be. But that is how people live for a very, very long time. Until
Mike. It makes it sound so evil. Mike.
Oh, Mike. Michael Eisner, who is a very divisive figure, I would say, in Disney history. He did so much good, quite a bit of bad. We could do so many episodes just talking about Michael Eisner, and we definitely will talk about him more, considering we are trying to encompass both the happy parts and the corporation parts of Disney as a whole.
Which, there's plenty of happy that comes from a corporation, but there's also plenty of just, these are hard decisions we have
They're
to make as a business.
They're doing it for financial reasons, not necessarily the warm, fuzzy feelings you want to feel. So, with that being said,
There's no better descriptor for that than Imagineers. It's like, hey, we have fun, but this is a business of how we're building something.
Yep, and you'll see so many times in the documentaries. Engineering. Yeah, you'll see so many times in the documentaries, like, the Imagineers have these amazing ideas, and then the finance people go, okay, tone it down. So it's definitely a balance. And Michael Eisner, you told me this. You said he basically said, we're getting into the home release game.
like, it's time for us to enter this.
It is
because
time for us to enter it.
I did a little digging into it. Back in 1981, right before Michael Eisner took over, the company decided, hey, we're going to kind of just dip our toes into this. Mm-hmm. We're not going to touch Cinderella. We're not going to touch, like, any of the big classics. But Dumbo is kind of big enough that we could do it without, like, causing
really
major waves of
pot.
Our, like, re-releases. I'm sure, like, if they were, like, looking at the metrics, being like, okay, like, Dumbo didn't perform as well last time. So we'll, like, have that one be our first, like, home release. And it wasn't even a home release. It was a rental.
Okay, gotcha. So they said, nah, we're just going to start with a rental and see what happens.
And then you can buy Winnie the Pooh the same year.
Okay. Okay, so they must have liked enough what Dumbo was doing to be like, we'll put Winnie the Pooh out. But then the first big one was Pinocchio.
Yeah, well, because then 2 years later, they were like, hey, we rented out Dumbo. Let's now have people purchase this.
Right.
Did well, but they were already going like, all right, people have rented, there's interest in it, but we're still going to hold off on just the exclusivity, the vault, the concept
and
of the timed
release.
That's when
they made that, really.
And then
yeah.
Michael Eisner was like, hey, I really want to invest more into the movies, and I want to get people really hype about these movies again. Mm-hmm. Let's release it for home release. VHS, let's do Snow White. Absolutely not. Okay, Pinocchio?
Sure.
Got it.
But then Pinocchio exploded.
Exploded.
People were just...
They went bonanza.
In love. And then that's what started this whole thing, really. And really, I mean, VHS was such a pain in the butt. That good old VCR player, and you're shoving your tape in, and you have to rewind it. And you hope you don't break it or it gets caught, for the love of God, because your parents will kill you. But... it was so important and such a big step in owning media.
What would you do with your VHSs?
What do you mean?
I used to build forts.
Oh, my parents wouldn't let me. Well, no, my mom let me play with them. I mean, and now I'm like, oh my gosh, if those Black Diamond ones are really as expensive and like worth what eBay says they're worth, oh, I hope my mom never finds out, because I cracked so many of those
covers. The plastic covers.
They weren't strong, you know? And I'm sure they've been sitting in the garage now for, gosh, 25 plus years. I'm sure they're just falling
apart. I think
apart.
Collectors are thinking it's going to be very much like vinyl.
Yeah.
And how vinyls, because we have a vinyl player now. We have 14 records now.
And we just got it in December, yeah.
We just got it in December. Yeah. And we've just been on the craze of, again, physical media.
Yeah.
And it's just really cool to have it. It's just, it's something that's tangible. You can touch it.
I would argue that if that were the case, then DVDs would come back into popularity before, VHS. Because VHS was so temperamental.
It's a collector's edition.
It would definitely be a collector's thing. But I'll actually play our vinyls, where I don't think I'd actually play the tapes. You know what I mean?
Understandable.
But no, I really enjoy. I mean, look, I got to watch Disney at home. We were
Use
very lucky.
Use your RCA cables.
Such a pain.
What are the colors?
Yellow, red, and white.
Yes.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, I got it. Oh my God. But no, so the 90s was definitely interesting because they started releasing things from the vault. And the concept of the vault probably doesn't make sense to young people. But like at one point, it really was like, no, when this comes out of the vault, you only get it for a certain amount of time and then it's gone again.
Mm-hmm.
So Snow White's out on VHS. You better go get it, because who knows if it's going to be there tomorrow, you know? So we had a bit of a collection.
Which is so funny, because we're thinking about these VHSs and just our great time with them, and just mm-hmm. the art, the style,
oh, yeah.
just having that physical media to be able to watch it. And these, I rewind those tapes so many times.
Oh my gosh,
the
yeah.
most rewound movie and I have a core memory with
yeah.
was Lion King for me.
Oh, of course it was. How am I not surprised?
I could not tell you. Young John, I moved into my new house. This is back in 2001. Still had a VHS player.
Oh, little baby.
So I was 6, 7 years old.
Wow.
Around that time. And I died laughing at the hoo-wow! From...
Oh, when they're doing the luau
part. Yeah, the luau with Timon and Pumbaa.
And you didn't break the tape from the amount of times you rewound that part?
I there was one night I did it like 20 times. I just couldn't stop.
And your
laughing.
Parents didn't kill you.
And I didn't stop rewind either. I paused rewind.
Oh my gosh. You're just playing on the edge.
Because I wanted
there,
to make
bud.
Sure I found the exact part that I was looking
oh
for.
Oh my goodness. No, obviously, you know, VHS, VCR, the whole thing. It was a very special time. But what?
If we didn't have VHS, because I know you want to move on to DVDs.
I do. That's the part I care more about.
When we were talking about the exclusivity of Disney.
Yeah, of course.
and just would be like, oh man, I can't wait for another Disney movie come out.
Yeah.
They hopped on the direct-to-video movies.
Oh, which, guys, we'll do a whole episode on direct.
Because we didn't know what these were.
Oh my gosh, like Little Mermaid 2.
Wait, there's another Aladdin movie?
Yeah, there were three Aladdin movies.
Exactly.
There were three, you know, it's in.
You could only find these Beauty and the Beast the movies. Store.
Yeah, it was a great way for them to make money real quick because the animation wasn't nearly as good. The stories were questionable.
Like, really trying to think back to my childhood. Apart from just walking around as a kid, mm-hmm. being like, oh, wow, look, Aladdin 2.
Cool.
Like, were they advertised? Did they have commercials? I feel like we have to.
I mean, I'm sure there were, but I feel like we'd have to ask our parents since they're the ones that bought us the tapes. You know what I mean?
We probably just pointed and they just.
Yeah, just parent Ariel, give me now.
Ariel 2. Who's this dark haired girl?
Melody, I need her, please. No, I will ask my parents about that because they did just seem to appear out of nowhere in the collection and then we just had them. But that was a huge thing for Disney in the 90s. That's good. I wasn't even going to bring that up today. It was not even going to be like a thought in my mind. So thank you for bringing that up. Love those direct-to-video.
Because it's one of those things, like, as much as I love hard media and we're going to be keep going into it.
Of course.
I'm really trying to think as a brand and as a company, what happened to hard media?
Yeah.
Because for me, I'm now looking at this. I love them. I love the concept of it. I love that they're like, oh, let's just keep releasing these things.
It lost
Are you
quality.
Diluting your quality?
No, and it definitely, I mean, look, a lot of those were terrible. They were just terrible films, but they made money and that's what they cared about.
But did that make people be like more hesitant to be like, oh, do I really want to see?
No, I don't think so. Because I think no matter what the original
was. It was also the 90s.
It was the 90s. It was a special time to be alive, let me tell you. But on top of that, this was so new still, the whole having media in your home like this, I don't think people cared as much. At least that's what I got. Like, if you could get it in your hands, you were taking it home. Because it was just so cool to have your own collection of things for the first time. So, I would say people were probably more okay. I think probably towards the end of the 90s, they got a little sick of it. But I do think they were probably chiller about it than we would be now if that was the case.
Yeah.
You know? But with that being said, even if they were like, oh, we're not getting another direct to video movie here, you're never gonna say no to like, hey, Sleeping Beauty was just re-released.
That's true. I think they would just be like, okay, if I see like a 2 at the end of it, I'm gonna
maybe skip over that.
Gonna be cautious.
But no, we'll definitely
it may be $10 on sale, but I don't know if I'm
we'll definitely cover that in the future. But once again, that kind of shows like, once again, corporations go, hey, I want money. Hey, this really worked for our OG releases. Let's just throw some mid movies in there now that we know people will buy. So it's once again oversaturation just because, hey, they know it'll make money, which Disney has done so many times. It's not even funny.
So you can't just always be like, oh man, back in the good old days of Disney, there were misses.
Oh, there always were misses. And that's Hollywood in general of there were always misses. When people say like, oh, movies used to be so good and now there's so many awful movies. No, there were always awful movies. But the difference was, in the old days, if a movie didn't do well, they just let it rot in a cellar and never remastered it, and that was it.
Now they release so many of these from time to time.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
just like, oh man, we have so many copies of 102 Dalmatians.
But no, like, the point is, there have always been awful movies in Hollywood. There will always be awful movies. It was just easier to forget them then than now.
Especially with the internet culture.
Especially with internet culture.
And people like us.
Yeah, and people like us who feel the need to spend their time talking about it. So I am concerned, and this is why we wanted to do this main topic today, is we're both concerned about the fact that Disney is shuttering away from doing their own DVD releases. And I really loved the DVDs. I feel like as much as I really loved the VHS gen, you know, I was young enough where DVDs came in at a really, really good time.
It was an art form.
It was. We were looking, guys, we watched so many of the intros to kind of remember what it was like to have the DVDs. And the amount of effort put in.
There was a specific
to these
era.
Disney DVDs. It was like the first releases they did. Not like because there's the Diamond Editions, they're not as good. The first, like, it was, I want to say, like, that 2001 era to probably, what, like, 2004?
2005.
Maybe.
Like, if you look at the brunt of these, the 2004, 2005 releases
yeah.
were phenomenal because...
Amazing.
Like, we saw two releases for Hercules.
Yeah, and they
one that came out in 2000, it was just a still image and you just
hit play. Yeah.
And then there was another one where it was just very similar, like, they just kind of... you'll notice, especially if you kind of like really want to do research on this, mm-hmm. there are ones where the early 2000s, which DVDs just hit the scene, so they didn't really have any expectations. Mm-hmm. Then there was that mid early 2000s, like 2004, 2005, where they went, let's throw everything at this. Let's make this creative. Let's make this fun. Like, really go out of your way. Look at the one that they released for Lion King. Look at the one that they released for Peter Pan. These just beautiful pieces of just art and, you know, these beautiful pieces of just art mm-hmm. and how much effort and time. Like, I wish, like, I could talk to, like, the marketers of these movies. And
no, I actually tried looking up who it was, and I'm going to find out, because the amount of effort put into this, it really was its own art form in the early 2000s. And just letting people have this media and all the extra features and all the little documentaries and things like that. Like, you could do rides. They made miniature CGI rides.
There's Lion King 1.5.
In the Lion King 1.5, the Little Mermaid had a concept ride that ended up being the Little Mermaid ride.
Wow.
In the DVD. Like, they did so much. And they didn't have to. Like, no one told them to do this.
But it was the exclusive.
But it was also, DVDs were new. So just like, you know, VHS was new at some point. Oh my gosh, so exciting. Now they could do even more.
What was your first DVD memory? Do you have one?
Yeah, well, it actually wasn't a Disney movie. It was Scooby-Doo.
Which one?
The live-action Scooby-Doo. So my parents bought a huge TV. Remember when they started doing the really big screens and they were still so thick?
Mm-hmm. They weighed like 300 pounds.
Oh my gosh. I don't know how my dad even got that thing in the door. Huge TV comes in, and it came with, because it was such a big new thing, this TV was on sale, and it came with a DVD player, like a little DVD player, and a copy of the Scooby-Doo movie. It was a bundled package because it was so exciting. So that was my first DVD ever, and I'm pretty sure I still have it somewhere. But that's my first DVD memory. So unfortunately, it's not a Disney one, but
mine is a Disney one.
Is it Lion King?
No.
Oh, thank God.
I was at a friend's house.
Oh.
And he was a bougie friend. He had a DVD
player. Well, of course he had a DVD player.
I had no clue what in the world a DVD player was. Mm-hmm. I had not come from money. I was just like, I had my VHSs. I was happy. I was just like.
And then you were introduced to the world of DVD.
What do you think the movie was?
What? Do I know the friend?
No.
Oh, well, then it's going
to
be
This is not hard. A close friend at all. I don't even talk to this guy anymore.
Oh, then I have no clue. What?
Atlantis, the Lost Empire.
Oh, geez, that's your first one?
But here's why it's a core memory.
Because, I mean, it was a good movie.
But no, not even. This is why it's a core DVD memory.
Why?
Scene selection.
Oh, yeah.
Blew my mind. So I tease this because of the whole, I would replay the scene from Lion King.
Oh, you could just go to the loop now. You didn't have to do the pause rewind so much. Even though it's easy to pause and rewind a DVD, but still, yeah.
Pause rewind was slow. Stop rewind was the quick way to do it.
Yeah. Yes, it was. But depending on your player. Yeah.
No. Stop rewind was like the definitive. Like,
no, I'm
get
saying
back to the
later
movie.
In the later 2000s, it was like.
Oh, at that point, that was not even a big issue.
Yeah.
And that was when we were talking about VHS. DVD, it didn't matter if it stopped.
No, I know.
Or
that's
not.
What I'm saying is, like, you just rewind it. It wouldn't be that hard.
No, not at all. But it was just so cool just being able to go to scene selection and be like, I want to see just this specific part of a
movie.
And you
could just play it.
And just play it. Like, that blew my mind. Like, wait, you don't have to, like, rewind. I even remember being like, I don't have to rewind.
That is pretty cool. But no, so, like, what concerns me and, like, I guess what we're really trying to drive to here at this point.
Well, first, we're talking about our nostalgia.
I know. But the point is, as we're sitting here droning on about our nostalgia, about DVDs and VHS and all this, is we have physical copies of media for Disney films, and a lot of people are losing that. And Disney is now shutting down the company. Not the company, the Disney Movie Club. Let's not cause a panic here. They're shutting down the Disney Movie Club.
Because they have streaming now.
Because they have streaming now, and they've decided Sony, for whatever reason, now gets to just take care of this. I really don't understand it. I don't think it's necessary. Disney has enough money and power to do everything.
So do you think that Disney will still be making these? And again, I have not purchased
any new
Disney
DVD
movies
in
a
while.
I still purchase DVDs for
we
movies
do for
I'm
other,
really
but
interested
I,
in.
Yeah, but it's rare. I think the last Disney DVD I got was Beauty and the Beast.
The remake?
The remake. You bought it for me.
Yes, and had all the special features. Like, so And we love special features too. We were just talking about the rides, yeah. the little games and stuff that used to be on them, and of course the documentaries. So do you see Disney going to like Sony and be like, okay, so we made this thing, and on top of it, here's like a behind the scenes thing, just throw it on there too.
Yeah, I don't know if the, and here's the thing, the later Disney DVDs definitely got lazier. We said there was like the peak time. It has lost that, but it's still Disney running it.
It is.
It's still them putting their art together, and now you're giving it to somebody else to take care of in mainstream. I don't love that. And like John had said before, it's definitely clear that basically Hollywood has seen that people are not buying physical media. They're not encouraging the purchase of physical media. And really what's scary, guys, is if Disney Plus shutters tomorrow, it will be back to vault times. And people don't understand that. Like, you will not have Snow White on your TV anymore. I mean, you could try to stream it from the internet illegally, but we're not encouraging that, nor should you. You know, I mean, that could end up having bad implications for you. You know, it's one of those things, you know, I'm kind of worried.
Or even if, like, let's just say Disney Plus doesn't do as well anymore, because there's times where, like, oh, Disney Plus saved the parks. Yeah, there'll be those
articles coming out.
And
now
the parks are trying to save Disney Plus, like, all that stuff that comes out. And let's just say, like, Disney's just like, okay, we're going to just wash our hands of this. We don't like this as a medium anymore. We're going to try to move on to different things. Let's just, like, sell it off to Netflix or something. Because Netflix, you know, they have their own library. All these other companies have their own library. You could just be like, well,
we'll
put it off and all this stuff and just...
But it's like, you know...
When you have your hard media, that can never happen. You just have your player of choice. When you have your hard media, that will never happen. You just have your player of choice.
Yeah.
Pop it in, it's yours.
I really encourage everybody with this news, especially just because in general, I think it's a concern. Go buy your favorite movies, because you never know. If Amazon Prime, you know, shuts down tomorrow, or if they decide they're no longer in the media streaming business, all of those movies we've bought or rented, they're gone. But those DVDs I bought when I was 10 years old,
they're still in my closet.
I have so many in the closet that I could still play. Building a library, I think, is so important. And just seeing the direction this is headed in does have a slightly concern. And we're not trying to be alarmists here.
No, but I'm just, and on top of it, owning the physical media is almost like owning a piece of art too.
It really, well, especially we were talking about the early 2000s, like all the extra detail they put in. Kids now aren't going to get that.
No.
Like,
They have to go out of their way
to find this media, which is crazy, but like, it's true. I don't know, like, when we have kids, like, unless we play the DVDs for them, they would never do the Timon and Pumbaa roller coaster ride on the Lion King 1.5 disc, or like
they would think the Little Mermaid thing.
Like, they would have no clue. This is not stuff that's on Disney Plus. There's some documentaries that like would never be put on Disney Plus. There's so much media that could be lost if we don't preserve it. And it really is a time capsule. It's important. Disney should really, I would say, think twice, Disney, but they already signed the paperwork. It's a done deal. They're closing the movie club.
You just hope that Sony just puts the effort into it.
It would be nice to see Disney DVDs kind of go back to what they used to be, but I know that's not going to happen because Disney was barely putting effort into it by the end.
Because they don't care if we don't have hard media.
No,
because that's more people that are buying Disney Plus. That's
more people doing Disney Plus. That's more people investing in what they consider to be the new way to go, you know? But it's just like, no, I'm not a fan. I'm not vibing. And still, even that with Disney Plus,
like, I don't want to pay $9-$10 a month just to watch what I want. I want to purchase it once and I can just watch it forever,
honestly. But then on top of that, even with Disney Plus, they're like, oh, you get everything, but you don't. There are movies that are not on Disney Plus, like Cinderella, the live action one that I actually think is beautiful, not on Disney Plus.
Wait, the 2015 one?
Yeah, you could check right now. I'm telling you, it's not.
Really?
I will look right now. Let's see if I'll eat my words.
Like, I had no clue. She could have, like, listed anything. Like, for me, instance, you know, going back to when we were on the Diz His podcast, we were talking about the DCOMs, and I was just like, oh, the first DCOM that came out on the Disney Channel was a movie called Under Wraps. There was a remake, I don't know, 5-4 years ago. I didn't watch it. But I was looking at him, like, you know, just for the history's sakes, you know, there's the 13th Year, there's Xenon, all those old ones. I'm like, where's Under Wraps? It's just not there. I don't remember from my childhood. Was this like a bad movie? Was this something that people didn't want to see? Were there like racier things about this that like they kind of just don't want to discuss as a company, similar to Song of the South? I don't remember that. But I don't like the fact that knowing that something existed and then them just being like, ah, well, we don't need to necessarily put this out.
Yeah. So I just found an article. This was updated March of 2023, so it might be a little delayed. But it does say there were like 10 movies that were not available. I'm sure some of them are now. But Cinderella was one of them, as well as Maleficent, The Spider-Man No Way Home, Dead Poets Society, it says on here, Life of Pi. So there were like quite a few. Devil Wears Prada. So I'm sure over time, as their contracts lapse, and I know they had legal battles, they'll get some of those titles. But they could also decide to just not put that on their streaming platform. Once again, like, they're not liable to do anything.
And at that point, it's just like, oh man, I'm looking for this movie. Oh, let me go to Amazon and rent it for
$15 whatever. Or hey, whatever. Let me purchase it on Amazon, and then if something happens to it, well, lost that movie.
It's all in the cloud.
Because it's all in the cloud. So I guess our main point here, and what we were really trying to drive home and concerned about with this, is just Disney wants to make money. They're outsourcing where the DVDs will come from now. They're outsourcing where their physical media is coming from now, which I find crazy.
You're giving another company part of the pie, unless...
they're doing this for Marvel reasons.
I put the tinfoil hat on. This could be like a Spider-Man related. Let you sell our movies if you give us more Spider-Man access.
It's crazy to think the company that was so hesitant to ever get into selling media to people for at-home use are now,
because they were
just
so protective of their own brand.
Are now just selling it off to Sony. Go ahead. You could just distribute our things.
Like, eh, whatever.
What? Like, that wasn't even a fathomable... They wouldn't even release Snow White until the 90s. But yeah, now it's just, whatever. Do what you want.
Like, unless this is like some sort of like 3D chess quid pro quo. Hey, if you let us have these rights, we get Spider-Man or something. Like, we'll lose money from these physical sales. And, you know, you give us Spider-Man. That's kind of cool. There was a famous thing that happened in like the 2010s, mm-hmm, where Disney gave up, I want to say it was like Al Michaels from ESPN to Fox. Mm-hmm. And in exchange, it was like Fox or NBC. I can't remember which company it was. No, it was NBC. Mm-hmm. They gave, I want to say it was Al Michaels to NBC. And in exchange, NBC gave Disney Oswald the Lucky Rabbit.
That was a big deal when that happened, because now Oswald merch is in the parks.
Basically, in the parks now.
Nothing else.
So there are times where there are like these like quid pro quo trades, and I'm really excited to see where this is going. But at the end of the day, I still want to protect hard media. And I don't like the fact that they're... Because the whole article was like, they're stepping away from hard media. It's just like, no, embrace hard media. Let people have hard media.
Disney has the ability and the money to set the standard, and they're choosing to go the lazy way out.
As the juggernaut of media right now.
You are literally, you own half of Hollywood, if not more. You have the ability to say, let's make hard media worth it for people. But it also means people have to take the incentive to go purchase things. And guys, this is really just our way of telling you, we definitely have a big DVD collection. We'll keep building ours for sure. You should really build yours as well, because you just never know. Preserve the media you love. Because at the end of the day, while we feel so attached to these things and we feel a sense of ownership over our favorite movies, they are not ours. It is a corporation's product, you know? They can decide to just take it away in this virtual world that we're in now.
We've been seeing it left and right.
You've been seeing it happens. There are movies that will never go on Disney Plus because they are not comfortable with the source material.
We saw the same thing with Warner Brothers.
Warner Brothers, oh yeah, there was a couple times with Warner Brothers they've done that. They've just never released movies.
Like,
period.
Oh, we're just going to purge like 300 films from our site.
Crazy. So, and I get there are some movies that they don't want people seeing and history repeating. I understand that. But if you want to preserve some of your favorite films, look, one day maybe they won't put a little cue card in front of Peter Pan. And they'll just say, no, it's too problematic, which it is a problematic film. But people love Peter Pan. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not here to debate what's right or wrong.
No, at the end
of
the day, you know, there's two schools of thought, very much like the Mickey and the Mouse. It's just like, are we preserving art?
Mm-hmm.
Or are we preserving an image?
A brand.
And yeah. A brand.
Yep.
And it's one of those things where, if anything, then have Disney Plus be the ones that you want to merchandise and love and put all that in there, and then have an offshoot one.
Yeah.
Like, they own Hulu. Put it on Hulu. Like, don't feel as if, like, it's for your kid-friendly Disney yeah. Plus. Like, put it on a secondary stream and be like, hey, for people that are, like, art and film enjoyers,
yeah,
watch it there.
But who knows if they'll do that. And it really, at the end of the day, once again, as much as we might want and plead for these things, They are a major corporation. They can do what they want. So we just wanted to put that out
there. It belongs in a museum.
Belongs in a museum. With that being said, we just want to put it out there for you guys. We just
like, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, it's some of you might be like, you're being ridiculous.
Like, why'd you make your third episode about distribution?
Yeah.
But we want to really set ourselves apart from other Disney podcasts. We want to make sure to have some serious conversations with the fun.
Yes. For sure. So this was definitely, it's a shorter episode. We're also, guys, we're still jet lagged from California. We got back like 24 hours ago. I'm a little sick. We're trying to recover here. So it's definitely a bit of a shorter one today. But this was just something we found interesting that we wanted to bring to you guys and kind of just give you a warning. Like, just from what media can be, preserve some movies. Get yourself a DVD player. They're not that expensive. You know, save up a couple bucks.
Get the DVD VHS hybrid.
Oh, geez. If you want to get real old school, you know? But no, seriously. If you have a favorite Disney movie, maybe just go purchase it. And we're not saying Disney Plus is going anywhere or anything like that. Look, Disney once you have IP out there, it's going to be out there. There will always be a way to purchase a DVD at this point. There's so many out there at this point. But it is concerning that Disney seems to be stepping away from hard media.
And just the industry, the entertainment industry as a whole.
Yes. So.
And but they're the leaders right now. So they have to be the ones, as you just said, to set the template, set the example. Because everyone follows and set the bar because everyone follows what they're doing.
Yeah.
And I just think from the two of us that love media, that love movies, that loves the brand, and still wants to at least retain that history and that time capsule of when you had these forms of viewing these products,
mm-hmm.
that seeing companies step away from them is sad. And yeah, go out of your way. Mm-hmm. Buy a DVD and just do that. I highly recommend it.
Yeah. With that being said, I think that's basically it for this one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we covered it. This one's short, like we said. We'll definitely make them longer in the future. But make sure to leave a review. Follow us on Instagram, Mickey and the Mouse Pod.
If you guys have any ideas for us, please let us know.
Yeah, DM us. You can totally DM us in, you know, our Instagram. We do want to make an email. That'll probably be a next time we come on, we'll tell you kind of thing. So thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next week.
See you around.
Bye, everybody.